The word fear keeps coming up today. Have you noticed in the songs, in the prayers? And while I was worshiping, I felt like the Lord said to me that there's at least one person here who's dealing with nightmares or even night terrors. And he doesn't point something out without wanting to fix it. So if that's you, or if that's your child, even if your child isn't in here, but you know one of your children have been struggling with nightmares or night terrors, I just want you to stand as an act of faith so we can pray for you right now. Is there anybody in the room that rings true for? You feel like, okay, right here, perfect. Anybody else? Over here. Mm-hmm. Okay, stretch your hands towards one of these people. God, we thank you for pointing out that you want to take away nightmares. You want to take away night terrors, because you promise in your word sweet sleep for your children. And so we just stand on that promise right now, and we thank you for beautiful, restful sleep there, where there is not one ounce of fear present, not one ounce of fear. We thank you for beautiful dreams, beautiful God-given dreams to replace those nightmares, because that's what you love to do. And so we thank you for beautiful God-given dreams that are filled with peace and glory and light that drives out every bit of fear. In Jesus' name, we agree on this. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Yes. Wow. I used to have nightmares when I was little, so I know what a big deal that is. That's a big deal. If you're an adult or a child and you struggle with nightmares, that's a big deal. And it's very controlling. So I thank God for setting people free from those today. So we are continuing our series today on 30 plus days of giving thanks. I love doing this in November because I feel like it's just easy to get wrapped up in the hype of December. And it becomes something that I don't think it was ever meant to be. So I think in November, if we can set our hearts towards thanks, it's just a better place to come from, to go into December. And I'm excited to share this message with you today because I know in my heart, in my spirit, I know that it's going to really change some lives today, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. He is so good that way. And today, the title of the message is Path Through a Valley. Giving thanks is one of the most effective tools we believers have in getting through a valley. And I thought I was going to go one way, but God said, nope, you're going this way with it. So I'm going to follow him. The first valley I want to talk about that we need to give thanks to get through the valley is the valley of crossing over. If you were here last week, we talked about the children of Israel and how they got in trouble because they didn't know how to give thanks. And it left them stuck in the desert for 40 years instead of entering into the promised land, if you remember. If you don't, or if you weren't here, listen online for free at our website, oakriverchurch.com. So we're kind of picking up 40 years later today. 40 years in 1 week, that's not bad, right? Because we're at a place where now Joshua is getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, into the promised land. And I feel like there are people in the room who are going from something old to something new. You're in a valley of crossing over from something old to something new. I don't know if it's a job. Steph and I were talking before service. Maybe it's a new job. I don't know. But I believe there are people who are in a valley of crossing over from something old to something new. And God wants to give you the tools right now, today, to get you through that valley well. And the first one comes in Joshua 3:11. Says this in the New Living Translation. Look, The Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. The Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. If you're going from something old to something new, point A, follow the presence and power of God. Don't look to your own methods. Don't look to your own ways. Look to the power and presence of God, because the Ark of the Covenant was extremely significant for the children of Israel. First of all, what was inside the Ark was a golden pot of manna, which was to remind them that God provides all the time. God provides every time. There's never a time that God doesn't provide. The second thing was in there was Aaron's rod. I believe that that was in there to remind them of what it meant to go from slavery to freedom. I really do. And there's power in that, obviously. If you remember the story of the rod becoming a serpent, read it if you haven't. It's very good. Or if you haven't watched the movie. That's important. If you're going from something old to something new, remember you're free. You're not in slavery anymore. And the last thing that was in there was the covenant tablets. The covenant that God had used his finger to write with on stone. Oh, I love that. I love that it specifies that God wrote those with his finger. That's like when supernatural touches natural and makes a change, you know? Here's the coolest thing ever. You are the Ark of the Covenant now. Inside of you is every provision that you will ever need for any situation. Inside of you is a knowledge and an experience and a history that you've built with God that shows you, you go from slavery to freedom. You have that history inside of you. I count on my history with God. Listen, I can lay hands on you and pray for you that God will impart cool stuff to you, and he does. But there's one thing I can't give you, my history. You have to build your own history with God. I can't give that to you. You build it. A lot of you have beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking histories with God. I see it being written out before my eyes, and it's so inspiring to me. So inspiring. But don't forget that we are children of the covenant too. You have that inside of you as well. You are a child of the covenant. And when I say covenant, I don't mean Ten Commandments. I love the Ten Commandments, but there's not freedom in trying to be good enough to get relationship with God. There's not. But there is freedom in knowing you're in an eternal relationship with the Lord of the whole earth because of what his son did on the cross. And I think the Aaron's rod could also be signified with the cross. Just a thought. But also in the valley of crossing over, not only do we want to set our eyes on the power and presence, follow the power and presence of God, the next passage tells us something else. In Joshua 4, 4 through 7, it says, Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord of your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all. One for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. This wasn't a small stone if they had to carry it on their shoulder. Probably a big old honking stone, you know, not, oh, look at a pretty little rock. No, probably not that. Just saying. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, hey, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Point B, when you're going from something old to something new, decide to remember to give thanks. Make a decision in the middle of the valley of crossing over. I am never going to forget what's happening here. I love that God said, I want you to build a memorial so that your children, when they ask, God always thinks generationally. We are so small in our thinking sometimes. We're like Hezekiah when he was told he's going to die. And he's like, well, at least there's peace in my lifetime. Everything's going to be good, you know. What? What about your children? You know, think generationally. I love that God said, when your children ask, hey, what is that pile of 12 stones? What is that about? You tell them, ah, God took us over. We followed his power and his presence. And when we did, he took us into this new, brand new land. That's huge. If you're in a valley of crossing over, decide to remember to give thanks. Decide. It's an intentional thing. Every morning when I wake up this month, because I've made a decision to decide to remember to give thanks, when I wake up, I'm thinking, what am I going to give thanks today for? Now, there's a million things throughout the day I give thanks for. Don't misunderstand me. Maybe not a million, lots. But in the morning, when I get ready to post on Facebook, day 17, it's an intentional decision I'm making. What am I going to call to my memory today to give thanks for? Decide to remember. I don't know what that looks like for you. Sometimes for me, that looks like journaling. I'm a journaler. I love to write down my thoughts and feelings. And it's amazing to go back through old journals and see what God has done since then. Like, it's very inspiring. But you might not be a person who likes to journal. Build something that reminds you. Make something. Paint something. Record something. Like, there's so many different ways you can decide to remember to give thanks. And another way is just to tell others your story often. Sometimes I forget the reservoir of stories that I have inside of myself because of God and his goodness. And then when I recall one and I start telling others, it builds my story, builds my faith. How is that possible? But it does. Not only am I building up someone else and encouraging them, I'm building myself up in the Lord. But that's not the only valley I want to talk about today. This is the one that really, really, got me going this week. The valley of fear. The valley of fear. Let's give some background first before I tell you the story. Jehoshaphat, however you say it, I've heard it like five different ways. Jehoshaphat. I'm just going to call him King J, okay? King J was a good guy. He wasn't a perfect guy. He spent too much time with King Ahab. If you know anything about the Bible, that's not necessarily a good thing. But even though he was far from perfect, he did some things well. He tore down some false idols. Hallelujah. Thank you, King J, for tearing down some false idols. He came to Jerusalem. When he moved into Jerusalem, he spent time going through the city encouraging people to worship God. So not only did he remove the false idols, he built up the true God. Okay, that's good. In the middle of all of that, he was doing all the right stuff. Okay, sometimes we're doing all the right stuff and we get hit out of nowhere. And that's what happened with King J. He got hit out of nowhere. He heard that all of his enemies were joining together to come and fight against him. Well, that's fun. I can just hear him like, really, God? You gonna do me like this? Really? I'm going around telling all your people to remember to worship you, and this is what I get for that? Come on, let's get real. He was a man. He was a person. I don't think he was like, law, everything's glorious, and everything give thanks. I don't think it was like that. Because in Scripture it says he was terrified by this news. He was terrified by this news. But he didn't run into a cave crying. He called all the people of Israel together and he said, we're going to fast and we're going to pray and we're going to hear from the Lord. Whew, that changes everything. That changes everything. I have been terrified before. Have you been terrified before? As long as I turn my heart towards the Lord, terror has no hold on me. Has no power over me. But I don't deny that I've been afraid before. Many times. So in the valley of fear, we're not going to read the whole thing, although I would really encourage you to read it, to jot it down and read it this week, because it's one of the most beautiful prayers that King Jay prays. It's an amazing, beautiful prayer. One time I did a study of all the prayers written in Scripture, and it's a wonderful study to do, because you see how people prayed, and it's inspiring, right? I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version of 2 Chronicles 23 through 19. Here are the bullet points. First of all, he started out his prayer with praising God. He started out his prayer with giving thanks and worship and praise to God. Second, he recounted God's promise to them to rescue them whenever they were attacked by enemies. Now, I've actually heard pastors say he reminded God of God's promise to them. I don't think that's accurate. God doesn't forget. I don't think God needs reminding. But I think there's something powerful when I recount a promise to God, because I need to be reminded. So when I say it out loud, I say, God, I remember that you have promised me this and this. And so I am standing on that right now. You see, I'm reminding myself. I'm not reminding God. It's not like he goes, oh, totally forgot. I don't think it's like that. And then King Jay didn't stop there. He told God what was up. Listen, God, all the bad guys are coming against us. Why did he do that? Because God needed to be told? No. He needed to hear himself say it out loud. He needed the people he was leading to hear him say, this is the reality of what we're facing. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And then he said, God, you know this is the land of our inheritance. This is the land you promised to Moses. This is the land you promised to Joshua. This is the land that we crossed over into. And now these guys are trying to take it away from us. And it is our inheritance they're trying to steal. And then, oh, this is the best one of all, if there is a best one. He admitted he didn't know what he was going to do. Oh, I love that. I love a leader who can say, yeah, I don't have a strategy for this one. I wish I did, but I don't. So God, we look to you for help. We look to you for guidance. So point A in the valley of fear, ask God for direction. Listen, I wish I could make this a law, but I can't. And we're set free from law anyway, but hear my heart. Before you post something on Facebook, ask God for direction. Before you get into it with a fellow believer, please ask God for direction. It does not honor God the way we treat each other sometimes. Don't offer an opinion until you've heard from God. Ask God for direction. I think fear is causing Christians sometimes to do and say things right now that are so far off the mark because they're letting their fear be bigger than hearing from God. And it's time we learn how to hear from God and put fear in its place. Hope that doesn't feel like a spanking, because it's my heart. Really, my heart is for you. My heart is for you. We move on. 2 Chronicles 20 and 21 says, after consulting the people, and by the way, that word consulting is misleading. I looked it up in the original Hebrew. That doesn't mean he was like, hey, Raj, what should we do? Hey, Louise, what should we do? It wasn't that. It was after he told the people, here's what we're going to do. Okay? The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. This is after they've heard from the Lord. God gave them a strategy. I find it fascinating that God gives a different strategy for every battle in the Bible. That is fascinating to me. Sometimes he says, walk around the city and be quiet until the seventh day and then blow your trumpet. Okay. Some days he goes, just walk through the sea. I'm going to make it okay for you to walk through. Some days he says, put a sword in one hand and a tool in the other. You're going to fight. Some days he has a different strategy, but the strategy he was given for this battle was this. Singers are going to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Wasn't a long song. It was a short song. But it went on over and over and over. Talk about repeat. It was on repeat. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Point B, in that verse we learn, sing your thanks. Some of the worst valleys I've ever been in my life, I thought my singing voice was gone. Thought it'd been stolen. But when I could eke out a melody to the Lord, it changed everything. It changed. It changed the atmosphere in my home like you would not believe. It changed the atmosphere in my heart. Sing your thanks. Well, you don't want to hear me sing. Fine. Don't sing into a microphone. Just sing at home or in your car. It doesn't matter. Just sing your thanks. Sing thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. I'm with Dave. There have been a lot of valleys I've been in that I can't sing and give thanks for what I'm going through, but I can give thanks for what for who he is in the middle of it. His faithful love endures forever. I can do that. I can do that. The next scripture, 2 Chronicles 20 through 25. For those of you who don't know what happened between the last scripture and this scripture, they went up on the edge of the top of the mountain and they looked down into the valley. And what they saw while they sang their thanks were the armies, the enemy armies who were supposed to be working together, all turn on each other and kill each other. I don't know how the last person died. I don't really understand that one. But somehow they died, right? The entire group of enemies wiped each other out while they were singing, give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. That is crazy. I want to see that on video someday in heaven. I want to see what that looked like to have an army surrounding with singers in the front saying, give thanks to the Lord, while the enemy just goes, wipes each other out. Wow. In 2 Chronicles 20:25, it says, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. I don't care what kind of valley you're going through, there is plunder in the valley. There is plunder in the valley, but they had to be intentional about going to get it. God didn't just go, okay, stand still, I'm going to drop it on you. No, they had to be intentional. I'm searching for the plunder. Some of the plunder were weapons. I think in valleys is an amazing place for God to give you weapons and tools that you never have had before. You get new weapons, you get new tools. Some of the plunder was clothing. Some of the plunder was so defensive clothing, you understand, because it was armies. Wasn't like, oh, what a pretty pink dress. I don't think that was the case. Some of it were just valuable things. Valuables. There's always plunder in a valley. Always. You understand, though, there's no children in here, right? They had to move dead things to get to the plunder. You understand that. Dead people. It had to be gruesome. There had to be a lot of blood. In the natural, this is the way it was. It wasn't like there was not a mess. It had to be gruesome work. In my life, sometimes finding plunder is gruesome work. Sometimes I have to move aside a dead way of thinking. And it's messy to get the plunder. But it's worth it. Notice that the amount of plunder they gathered was so great, it took them 3 days to collect all of it. You understand, God equipped an entire army off of this event. He equipped them for future battles where they were fighting. I love that. After I sent the notes to the tech team on Wednesday, I was listening to a message on Thursday by Bill Johnson up in Redding, California. And he said, one day he came out of the church, and they have a prayer chapel that's a separate building there. It's really beautiful. And if you're going with us in January, you're going to get to see it. It's really amazing. I hope you get to go. he said he came out, and he noticed above the prayer chapel, there was an eagle flying. And he just felt transfixed by it. You know how sometimes you see something in nature and it just kind of arrests your attention? And he noticed this eagle. And this eagle, not once in the whole time he was watching, did the eagle do this. He just did this. But he was going higher and higher and higher and higher. What he was doing, he was catching the thermals and soaring to new heights. And then he said this quote that I'm going to share with you. And I'm like, yeah, it's way too perfect for my message on Sunday not to use it. He said, sometimes we misinterpret adverse conditions. Oh my goodness, this is so good. We think the enemy is attacking us. But these conditions are actually created for us to learn to ride the thermals and rise higher. What if instead of we view the whole King Jay and his army as being attacked by an enemy, we understand that God stirred up the enemy's hearts to attack them so that he could put his power and grace and love on display and take them higher without them having to What if they just caught the thermals and rose higher? What if when I'm going through a valley, I learn how to recognize the thermals and I angle myself towards the thermal so I can rise higher? He said that eagle went so high it was out of sight by the time it was done. It was out of sight. And he never once saw the eagle do this. He also said, I've never heard this before, that eagles in the natural have this film that they can engage over their eyes. Anybody ever heard this before? That make it possible for them to fly directly into the light of the sun. So when they're being chased by an enemy, they can position themselves to fly directly in the sun, engage their little film over their eyes. The enemy can't see and loses them in the sunlight. Well, have fun with that one. The last point in the valley of fear, 2 Chronicles 20, 26 says, on the fourth day, after 3 days of looking through carnage and gathering plunder, on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Point D, rename the valley. What if you take your worst day and you say, I'm no longer going to see that as my worst day. I'm instead going to gather so much plunder that I look back on that day and I thought it was such a valley of terror and a valley of fear, but I rename it and I say, nope, that is now my valley of blessing because of everything I've gained from it. There's no stopping us if we can do that. There's no stopping what God can do through us if we can do that. I don't know if you're in a valley of crossing over or in a valley of fear or some strange combination of the both of them. But I know that God loves giving his children tools for dealing with them. And he doesn't want to see you beaten down and with your head down, with your chin dragging on the floor. He wants to see you rise higher and higher and higher and higher. He wants to see you with your eyes fixated on his son, S-O-N. That every enemy that tries to come after you is blinded by the light of his son. That's what he wants. That's what he longs for his kids. I just want to pray over you guys really quick. If you are in a valley right now of crossing over or a valley of fear, just stand right where you are. Again, we're going to pray. If you're in a valley of fear or a valley of crossing over, stand. Yeah, Gail, I'm glad you stood. Stand for Bruce. Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody else who's seated, reach your hands towards someone. God, I thank you for your infinite, infinite, infinite love. I can't even begin to describe it effectively, but I love that you don't just leave us to ourselves to get through valleys. So for every person who's standing, whether it's a valley of crossing over or a valley of fear, I thank you for the tools that you're giving today that's going to change the path through the valley. That it's going to be a marking point today that they're never going to look at that valley the same way they did when they came in today. God, I thank you that you are in the valley. You spread out a table, a banqueting table for me when I'm in the valley. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the plunder that's going to be collected, that this plunder that's going to be collected is actually going to serve countless people in spheres of influence, countless people, that not only is it going to bless the people who are standing, it's going to bless everyone they know. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that your Holy Spirit goes in us and with us in every situation. So give us intentionality today to find things to be thankful for in the valleys, to be intentional about it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Wow, I just feel God's presence so strong here today, and I know that he is giving you some tools. By the way, giving thanks, I need to say this probably, because sometimes giving thanks feels like I'm thankful for breakfast. I'm thankful I'm breathing. Those are good things, for sure. But for thankfulness to have its fullest impact, it needs to come from a place of genuine heart. Not just, well, Sandy told me to give thanks, so I'm going to give thanks. It's like when I was a little girl, my mom would say, honey, time to go wash the dishes. I would wash the dishes, but I had the worst attitude about it. I would stomp on my way there. I would clang the dishes around in the sink to let her know I was not happy with having to do that. Yeah, I didn't get any points for that in the eternal. Just saying, my motives, they got burned up on that one. So when you give thanks, give thanks. Find something that's real that you can give thanks for. Next week, we're going to continue. We're going to wrap up our series, actually, on giving thanks. And we're going to talk about thanks is the way to find a path to new feelings. Yes, we can control our feelings. Hallelujah. Also, after the service today, we have a 10-minute party. If you're relatively new to Oak River, maybe today's your first day, and you want to hang out and have a little snack for 10 minutes, not longer, 10 minutes, and get to know a couple of the leaders, we invite you to join us in the Experience Life Room, which is if you go out this door, don't hit the red banner, turn left before the red banner, and this is the first door on your right. We'd love to have you join us for that. And also, all of you who signed up to go with us to California in January, we're having a meeting, an informational meeting that will be another maybe 10 minutes. It's going to be quick. Just wanted to communicate with you and kind of find out where we are on that, okay? Thanks for coming today. Be blessed. Have a great week.